Welcome to Living Water Radio. Do you carry some form of identification? Do you know who you are? Do you know that who you are is determined by whose you are? Do you know that as a Christian, you are a made new, power-filled child of God? Today, we're going to find out. My name is Pastor David Birkenall. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is an ordained minister focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, I'm serving part-time in Monterey Park, California, maintaining our yard as my gym, and I'm active as a volunteer in the leadership of the more than 100 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations in our area. Between the two of us, we have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. We will be celebrating the 246th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence this coming Monday. 246 may seem like a big number, but we are a relatively young country. I read some time ago that almost our entire history can be measured in the lifetimes of 5 American presidents. 5. Thomas Jefferson, our 3rd president, died when Abraham Lincoln was 17 years old. Abraham Lincoln died when Woodrow Wilson was 8 years old. Woodrow Wilson died when Ronald Reagan was 12 years old. And Ronald Reagan died when Barack Obama was 42 years old. We'll celebrate it with barbecues and parades, some time off, and maybe some fireworks. We'll lift our phones to record those fireworks, but as the meme I saw once said, "Let's watch this fireworks video I took a year ago," said no one ever. We'll be watching video on TV showing the wildfires that are destroying land and buildings because of someone's foolish use of illegal fireworks. Some of us might also take a few minutes to think about how fragile our freedoms are and how a few hotheads can burn everything down. It's easy to gather a mob and destroy things built by common consent. It's hard to build them, including the church. I don't think that I've ever experienced a time when I have been more concerned about the Christian church, at least in the Western world, when it has been under greater attack from hotheads from both the left and the right. Today we'll see how the first followers of Jesus were called and sent into a hostile world. Here's a quick question. How many disciples did Jesus have? Did I say quick? I meant trick. Because we most commonly think of Jesus as having 12 disciples through almost all of his 3-year public ministry. But there were more, many more. Our Bible reading for last week from the end of Luke 9 reminded us that on his way to Jerusalem with his 12 disciples to give his life, Jesus was approached by other prospective followers, and he invited people to follow him while making sure that they first knew what they were getting into. Then this happens at the beginning of Luke 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Now, the definition of an apostle is one who is sent. So, were these disciples or apostles? I'm going with apostles, recruited from the second tier of Jesus' disciples. A disciple is a student. Disciples learn from someone they follow around, at least they did in those days. An apostle goes among the people to tell about the teacher to people who may or may not be prepared to hear it. An apostle needs power. That's a lot of people, though, 72, and he sends them out in pairs for mutual support and encouragement and strength when times are difficult, and as an expression of the living relationship they have in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, is it odd that he tells them to pray for more in verse 2? He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Harvest work is hard. I've worked a day as a farm worker picking crops when I was in 6th grade and decided that I didn't want to do that again. I worked a day or so baling hay when I was in college. That was not as hard, but It was hard, and I've done hard physical work, from factory work to maintaining and repairing railroad lines to Marine Corps training to working in a concrete block factory the year before they automated. Many hands make light work, the saying goes, and the more the merrier, but I don't know of any industries right now that have all the workers that they need. A local drive-thru has a sign in its window that lets patrons know that they are short of staff and asks that they be patient with the workers who are showing up. No one wants to work anymore, the sign says. Last week, I repeated an assignment to use the word Jesus in a sentence with someone who was not a member of your church. Did you do it? Was it easy or hard? Did the experience make it easier to understand Jesus' statement, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few"? Does that even make sense to you? Does it seem like there are a lot of people out there ready and just waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus? No, me either. What are we missing? What is the key to identifying people who are ready to receive the gospel and who will respond positively to our invitation? What was Jesus' answer to his disciples and apostles? Pray. In fact, the Greek word here for ask carries more of the idea of beg. Pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, would send out more harvesters. Everybody can do that work, powered by the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's assignment. I'm not going to ask you to talk with anyone. I just ask that you pray that God identify people you know or are acquainted with, or maybe don't know yet, as people to whom you are being sent to share the gospel. Just pray that God identify them to you. Sharing your faith is not always easy. Look at the instructions Jesus gave to these 72 sent ones in verses 3 through 11. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. The modern hospital is an invention of the Christian faith. There had been centers for healing before the Christian era, but they were for the elite rich, the military, or for workers in a temple. The modern hospital, serving all who are in need, began during plague times in the early part of the Christian era. Anybody in the Roman Empire with any money in those years had a little house outside the city. They would go there when plagues came to their cities, while Christians would stay, and with great risk to themselves, would stay and care for the sick and dying. Everybody. That made a deep impression on people. Jesus' instructions to the 72 was to follow their healing with the words, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That was the hard part. Everybody wants free services, but not everybody wants to hear the sermon, the good news about the source of all power. When you go to someone, understand that you won't always be welcomed. Some hearts are hard. You'll know who God is sending you to by their reception of the good news you have to share. People who don't know that they need it are not going to receive it. And if they don't, move on. Jesus lays out the consequences pretty starkly in verse 16. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So how did that go? We see in verses 17 through 20. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Every one of us has a reason to be thankful today. Every one of us who has received the gifts of faith and baptism are members of the body of Christ, the church, because of a line that runs for hundreds, thousands of years of people who have said yes when God sent them to work in the harvest, to leap out of their comfort zones and into service as an apostle of God. We pray for one another every Sunday in our churches. Let us pray that God would raise up laborers from among our members and beyond to reach out to those who have yet to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. How can we possibly do this? Not on our own, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, in whom we receive our identity as a new creation, born again as God's people. You've probably heard about the long lines and canceled flights at our airports because there aren't enough laborers to staff all of the jobs needed to move large numbers of passengers from one place to another. I remember hearing about an airport where a flight had been canceled and all the passengers were instructed to go to another gate and be registered for another flight. There was a long line, but it was moving and people were being patient and were being served. And the single clerk at the desk was doing the best that she could. At one point, a man came charging up to the counter from the back of the line and interrupted the woman behind the desk. He said, "Look, I need to be on this plane. I need to be sure that I have a seat. I have a very important meeting at a very specific time. I need a ticket now." The clerk said, "I understand that, sir, and you will have a seat on this plane, but you're going to have to be patient and wait your turn like everyone else." The man said, "I don't have time for that. I need a ticket for this flight, and I need it right now." "Yes, sir, I'm sure that that's true," said the clerk, "but you're going to have to wait in line." The man glared at her and said, "Do you have any idea who I am?" The woman picked up her PA system microphone and announced to the terminal, "Attention, Terminal 3, Terminal Number 3. There is a man at the ticket counter who does not know who he is. If there is anyone in the terminal who can tell him who he is, please come to the ticket counter in Terminal Number 3. The man turned beet red and turned around and walked back to the end of the line. Do you know who you are? You do know, because you know whose you are. You are a made new, power-filled child of God. Use the gifts that God has given you to share the good news you have first received from God in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Share that good news today. Today, let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkadahl and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses and we'll include them next time. Send your comments, questions, and concerns there as well and we'll respond to every one. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated, to open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship services they have available and support your church with your time, your treasure, and your talent. Pray for and support your pastor and church leaders as they seek to do God's will for your congregation. If you are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody. Contact a friend or a relative. Google a local or national hotline. Reach out. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time into the light. You are not alone. Wear a mask when you're outside your home. Practice social distancing. Wash or sanitize your hands regularly. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. But most importantly, get your vaccines and boosters. It's the one thing you can do to literally save lives and get us back on track. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with. Everyone you meet today struggles in some way. Be a helper and encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together as we move into the new normal. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.